This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Fincastle Media Group, RF Bank and Trust, Rostar Assurance, and Scotiabank. See you live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on this Far Back Friday. I trust to note that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, you can do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me give you a little lay of the land here. So today I'm going to play some songs. And here's the thing. If you feel kicked in your teeth, if you feel stomped on, if you feel laughed, if you feel abused, if you feel down and out, if you feel like life has just punched you in the gut, and like you just need to hear something to pick your spirit up, to get you fired up to get you feeling like you can get past this moment, I have some songs for you today, man. That's what it is. So hit me with your best shot. Fire away. Now, if all goes well, I have a special guest who would know something about this. I have a very special guest, but so we're going to see what happens. So at some point, if my guest arrives, then we're going to have a few moments to speak with him, very special guest, and then we'll continue our songs. If not, then we'll continue our songs that I hope will lift your spirits. And that one was Hit Me With Your Best Shot. That was Pat Benatar. And now, you know, Elton John has a song, just in case they didn't know, the folks who think that they know where you are, they didn't know. You tell them, I'm still standing. Elton John, I'm still standing.
Lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little. Were meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you.
I'm still standing, looking better than I ever did. I'm still standing. You got to sometimes speak to yourself, bro. You got to speak it to yourself, man. Because sometimes you got to let them know. Yeah, you've been beat up. Yeah, you have had some cries and some tears. And yeah, you felt bad. And yeah, you've been angry. And yeah, you've been frustrated. That's all right. That's life. That's called living. But in the end, I'm still standing. Yeah. So keep standing, right? So that's the songs we're going to play for you today. We can play songs that keep you in the fight, right? Keep you moving, pressing on, rising to the challenge, right? Corey Hart has one such song. You know what Corey says? Hey, bro, never surrender. Never, ever surrender. Corey, never surrender.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for. 'Cause just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down.
Join us on June 8th for the annual RF Economic Outlook Conference, where speakers include Dex Torok, executive at Facebook and Google, geopolitical consultant to the U.S. Department of State, Keith Herman, serial tech entrepreneur and blockchain expert, and global innovation strategist Sean Canungo. Registration is now open. Find out more at rfeoc.com.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't going to come inside here alive. You don't want to be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I got COVID. You don't want that.
Local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahamans? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to
behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon, this far back Friday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call at some point, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Well, I promised you that we would have a very special guest today, and fortunately, his schedule enabled him to make it. I was in Orlando a few weeks ago with my son. I was over the Easter holiday, actually, and I took some time to visit a very dear friend of mine and a wonderful minister and a minister of the gospel, Bishop Dr. Daron Hepburn of Jump Ministry International. And while we were there, we had the privilege of meeting this gentleman, and we'll talk a little bit about what happened while we were there also. But my son was thrilled to meet him. He's such a humble gentleman. I mean, just so unassuming, notwithstanding so many significant things has happened in his life. This gentleman is listed at 6 feet, 10 inches. He's got a 2.13 wingspan. They say he weighs 230 pounds. He went to college college basketball at Florida State University. Went in the first round, sixth pick of the National Basketball Association draft in 2017. I am talking about none other than Jonathan Judah Isaac, who is a NBA player with the Orlando Magic, starting forward for that team. Welcome, Jonathan.
My man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chop it up with you.
No, man, I'm so glad to. I got, and guess what? I got Xavier standing right on the side of me listening out, because remember when we went to watch the last game of the season, Orlando and Miami, you weren't playing at the time, but courtesy of yourself, he was right there just looking. See, there's Jonathan, right there. So he's right here.
Nice. Tell him I said what's up.
All right, man. But I'm so glad you were able to join us, man. Again, welcome. So glad to have you with us. But you have quite a story, and you have been telling us. But first of all, tell us, where were you born?
I was born in Bronx, New York. So okay. my mom is from St. Kitts and Nevis. My dad is from South Carolina. And they met in Bronx, New York, and that's where they got together, and I was born there.
And are you an only child?
No, I have four brothers and one sister.
Okay, and where do you fit in that crew?
So the girl is the oldest, and then I'm in the middle of the five boys. So two older brothers, two younger brothers, and then the girl's the oldest.
Okay, and if I'm not mistaken, you are 24 years old or thereabouts?
24, yes, sir.
Okay. So now let me ask you, are you married?
Yes, I am. I'm married.
I know the answer. I just want them to know.
Oh, yeah. Married of 7 months. I met her in Orlando at the church you referenced, Jump Ministries Global Church. I met her there about 4.5 years ago. And so we're married now for 7 months.
Okay. And how did your basketball journey start? I mean, you obviously had some height on you, but how did you get interested in?
So, I mean, I watched it a lot at a young age, watched it on TV, and I played a little bit in the Bronx with my dad and my older brothers. It wasn't until I moved from Bronx, New York when I was 10. So my parents split up when I was 10, and I moved from Bronx, New York to Naples, Florida. And that's when I kind of got immersed in playing basketball on a regular basis and really just fell in love with it.
Man, Naples is a beautiful place. I didn't even know people played basketball down there.
For sure, that's a good point. Yeah, we had some guys that after school we would go to the YMCA, and they had a couple AAU teams and all that around, so I got to play quite a bit.
Now let me ask you, when you were playing basketball, did you ever dream you'd be in the NBA?
I really didn't. I wasn't the kid who had those big dreams of making it to the NBA and saw himself going there and being there. I was the unassuming kid that didn't really believe in himself, but grew in talent over time. And then once I got to my last year in high school, you know, I had every college in the country, you know, coming after me. So then I made my decision.
Right. And how was that transition in life?
It was a lot. It was tough. I wasn't the most confident kid. I struggled with anxiety and fear quite a bit, you know, growing up. And, you know, a big portion of that is around growing up in New York and then transferring to Naples, Florida. So I went from a predominantly Black community to a predominantly white community. And I struggled to fit in and make friends. You know, they made fun of me. I got name calls. They called me Ethiopia because wow. I was so skinny and tall. So I developed a great deal of anxiety and fear. So making it to the NBA or even being a high profile college player, it was tough. It wasn't something that was easy. And I detail that all, you know, if you really want to get the 411 on how all that goes down, I detail that all in the book. And so just encourage everybody to grab the book. It's on Amazon. It's called Why I Stand. And I'm sure we'll talk more about it. But
absolutely.
All of that is detailed in there.
Okay, absolutely. Now, just to be clear, did you still struggle with this bit of confidence issue even as you were being drafted?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I didn't really start to grow in the area of confidence and mentality until I started to develop a relationship with Christ. Wow. And so I got drafted and I was living my life. I wanted to experience everything that the world had to offer. I was doing my thing. And then I encountered Dr. Hepburn. And so who my pastor today, and you know, he's Bahamian, but for everybody that's listening, he's Bahamian, and he stopped me on an elevator. And he said, I can tell you how to be great. And I said, how? He said, you have to know Jesus. I said, meet Jesus. You know, I'm a Christian, all this different stuff. But I really wasn't a Christian. I really wasn't living the Christian life for real. My relationship with Christ wasn't tangible. But from there, my life really does get flipped upside down. And, you know, God really does start to reveal himself to me. And Dr. Hepburn is able to walk me through what a relationship with Christ is like and really minister to me and show me what the love of God is like. And so that was the first time that I was really able to relax, you know, and breathe, because it was like, I don't have to perform and work for love. I don't have to perform and work for God's acceptance. And so I started that anxiety started to wane over time and go, but it's not something that ends overnight. But I've continued to grow up and mature.
Well, you know, listen, you mentioned it. Dr. Hepburn is a Bahamian. I think, you know, a bit of it, but he and I grew up on this island of Grand Bahama together in the same church. He was wow. the person who was essentially one of the Christian spiritual leaders of young people in that church and on this island. When we were in high school, he was a phenom in terms of sharing the gospel, in terms of leading young people to Christ, et cetera. He was when I say phenom, I'm talking about the kind of person everybody, when you see him, you go, that's him. That kind of person. And the experience you had with him was one of the exact experiences I had with him. I had just finished college. I met him and a lady he used to do ministry with on a bus stop. And he stopped me and said essentially a similar thing to me. And it really took my life in a direction of focus on to do. And that's the kind of person he is, right?
He is for sure. And I've seen him, you know, do it countless times, but just lead. I've seen him care about people and love people. And I've had a front row seat to, you know, the ministry growing and you know, him being a huge, and he's actually a really big part of the book as well. So he's like the angel of the book. And so, you know, just as I'm detailing my life and how I got to some of these big moments in my life that everybody knows about, you know, he plays a really big role in them.
Now you, me, him, and several others went on the beach were we in New Smyrna?
Yes, we were.
7 o'clock in the morning. And I don't remember, was it like maybe 50 degrees or something?
Right, it was
like
cold.
That. And we baptized now, what, 60 something people that day?
Right.
And so, you know, it this is part of your life's mission journey now, and notwithstanding your prominence as a professional basketball player, you wrote a book, and the book is telling a story, Why I Stand. And what is that about? What is it that you're standing for, or why are you standing?
So about a year and a half ago, you know, everyone remembers George Floyd's death. It, as tragic as it was and as wrong as it was, around the time the NBA went into what they called it an NBA bubble, to where we had to play games because COVID had shut the season down. So they brought the season back in what they called the NBA bubble. And so we were at Disney, and all the players had to live on the Disney campus and all of that in order to play games. And so around that time, there was a lot of pressure on all the NBA players to kneel for the national anthem and to wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. in solidarity for Black Lives and all of that. And I was the only player who chose not to kneel and not to wear the T-shirt, not because I don't believe that Black Lives Matter, but that I didn't see that as the ultimate answer, because I understand that racism and all the other things that plague the hearts of men is a heart issue. And so I know, and when I look at my life, that the gospel truly changed me. And I know that real change is not going to come through an organization. It's not going to come through a movement. It's going to come through men and women's hearts being changed by the gospel and seeing each other in a different way, seeing themselves in a different way, and ultimately loving their neighbor in spite of their sin, in spite of their faults, in spite of the differences, the same way that God loves us. And so I decided to be the only player that stood, and I shared that same message, and it blew up. You know, I got a lot of backlash for being the only one to stand, but at the same time, a lot of people resonated with my message and agreed with my message that Jesus was the answer. And that, again, not to say that Black lives don't matter, but that Black lives don't matter more to anyone than they do to God. And we need to affirm the gospel and share the gospel and share the love of Christ in times of tragedy to change the world.
Now, you operate in a space where fame and wealth and materialism and egoism are a really big part of the profile of far too many people. It's not easy to find public stand for Christ in a very secular, intellectually driven kind of world, is it?
No, it's not. And it was tough. It was a tough decision to make. I hadn't even signed my contract yet. So my contract was up for an extension. And I stood before I signed it. And so there were a ton of people getting canceled at the time. And so I could have very well been canceled and you know, succumbed to a lot of different other things. But it was tough. You know, obviously I was going against the grain. Obviously, you know, the league is predominantly Black. And so you have my Black teammates, you have Black coaches, you have a bunch of Black players who are saying, what is this guy doing? Why is he not kneeling with us? Why is he not wearing the Black Lives Matter T-shirt? And that's really why, you know, the book comes to life, because the book is me saying, look, I know that I said that I believe that Jesus is the answer for the world's problems, but I'm going to show you through my journey how he was the answer for me. And so people get to go through the book. The book is called Why I Stand. People get to go through the book and see, wow, Jesus has been the answer for this guy's life. And maybe if I develop a relationship with Christ, or if I choose to love people the way that God loves me, then we can really see change.
Yeah. Jonathan, we have to take a quick break for our sponsors. But when we come back, I'm going to continue our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with Jonathan Isaac, NBA basketball player with the Orlando Magic, starting forward. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host.
I believe I can fly. can fly.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
Hey,
you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching is the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take it. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my walk this road together. Through the storm, whatever weather, show the warmth. Let me know that you're not alone. I love you, you feel like you missed it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. This you might know. I don't know what that scraping sound is. Might want to see what's happening. Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chivago, and I'm your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today. You 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And we are speaking with Jonathan Isaac, NBA basketball player with the Orlando Magic, starting forward and a advocate of the faith. Recently wrote a book, Why I Stand, and he's joined us today graciously. Now, I'm under instructions, sir, that we have until about, say, 3:20 or 25, because I know you have another meeting to go to. You mentioned in your book that Dr. Hepburn is like the angel of the book. Isn't it uncanny that your mom was born in St. Kitts? Make sure I have this right, your father in North Carolina, but your reintroduction to Christ in the way that you now have it was by a person from the Bahamas? Hi, Jonathan, are you still there?
Oh, sorry about that. I think it's just like God to do it that way. Like, you know, God uses different people from anywhere. God uses whoever is willing and available. But you know, my parents gave me that grounding in faith when I was younger. You know, I was in church like every single day of the week when I was a kid. And so they kind of beat that, grounded that into me. And, you know, Dr. Hepburn picked up where they left off.
I mean, there are quite a number of players that I know, NBA players, who tend to be overt about their faith. But I don't know that there's a majority of such. Is it kind of awkward to be so standout and upfront about
your faith, especially in this politically correct world in which we find ourselves?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's awkward. I think that it was something that I've definitely struggled with in the beginning, and trying to manage my relationship with my teammates and not appear to be crazy or anything like that, or not be too Jesus-y or churchy all the time around them or around just the NBA culture and society. But I think it's something that I've definitely matured in to where I'm more comfortable with sharing my faith when I need to. And then it's just me living my life. It's me living my life out. And you know, I don't go around to the guys telling them, you know, how bad they are and how wrong they're doing or anything like that. I just love them and continue to just live my life, you know, on display and go from there.
There are many, many a young men in this country and other countries around the world who would love to, who have as a dream being where you are. And we know that that's a challenging thing for lots of people, their dream. And just in terms of encouraging them, what would you say to a young person who, a young man, maybe even a young woman who's trying to get into WNBA, who has a dream like that? Like what kinds of advice would you give them about their journey in that direction?
I would say, you know, go after. I think one of the biggest parts is working extremely hard and putting in the time and the work. And then I say the other piece is keeping God first and ultimately making your success, making your drive to become whoever you want to become about bringing glory to God and ultimately growing His kingdom. But I think one of the things that I even tell my team, so I have a young team of basketball players, and you know the truth is not every single one of them are going to make it to the NBA. You know, there may be one, there may be two, there may be a handful, but not every single one of them are going to make it to the NBA. And that's just the truth. But it doesn't mean that each one of them do not have a specific destiny and plan that God has orchestrated for them that is great. And so we do get so caught up in, you know, the league and all of these different entertainment things where it's like, man, I would rather be doing what I was called to do than be in the NBA and being a basketball player. I believe and now that I'm here, see that that's the thing that God has called me to do, or the platform that God has given me to, you know, continue to spread, you know, the gospel. And so I would just encourage them that while you're on this journey of working really hard, NBA player, this WNBA player, leave room for God to lead you exactly where He wants to, and don't see not making it to the NBA or WNBA as a failure, but ultimately you becoming who God has created you to be.
Now, you know, we got a few Bahamians in the NBA. I don't know. Have you met DeAndre, Buddy, and Kai, and have you connected with them in any way?
I wouldn't say connected with them, but I definitely met them all. I've definitely played against them all, too. So I know of them.
All right. So, you know, you can see we're manufacturing this talent, you know, in this little small country.
For sure. And you guys have got young players, too, that are coming up. And so, you know, it's good. Basketball is growing over there for sure.
When I have to take a break for news, which will be about 5 minutes or so, when we come back, I just want to dive into your book a little bit more to kind of get a sense of some of the themes that people could look forward to getting more details about when they pick up a copy of the book. Is that okay?
Of course, for sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jonathan Isaacs, NBA basketball player with the Orlando Magic. We'll be.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Okay. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golan, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm here at the moment with Mr. Jonathan Isaac, who's the who's an NBA player with the Orlando Magic, starting forward for that team, who was brought to a new dimension of his faith through the Ron Hepburn, a Bahamian, born and bred here in Grand Bahama, and who has got quite a few people who can say, I have the faith I have with the way, in the way I have it, because that gentleman introduced it to me. And he attends Jump Ministries International there in Orlando, where I had occasion to speak recently. And they are together pressing forward with the word. Can I ask you, Jonathan, what is your, first of all, is your book an explanation about the stand you took during the very, very well-known demonstration surrounding George Floyd? Or is this your a book that you were going to write anyways because you wanted to tell your story?
No, it's both of that. It's not okay. A book that I wanted to write anyway, but okay. Because of the moment, it was a perfect way for me to tell my entire story. And so the book isn't just about standing in the bubble. It's about my journey of how I got there, what I struggled with when I was younger, all the different details and behind the scenes moments of what led up to me ultimately standing and how God had brought me down this journey to become the person that I needed to be in order to stand, and how he used the people in my life to do it.
Okay. And I understand the book has been well received in sports circles, in religious circles, and then in the broader reading audience.
Yes, it became a national bestseller yesterday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations on that.
Yes, thank you so much. So it's doing really well, you know, just reading the messages and even people from the Bahamas who I've seen put in messages and say that they're looking at it's inspiring them and encouraging them to stand up for their beliefs as well. But I just want to reiterate that the way that you can get your book today, you have to go to Amazon.com. So you got to get on your computer. Because it's not the United States, I'm not sure you guys don't have a Barnes & Noble or Books A Million there, but the best way to get it is to get on Amazon.com and type in Why I Stand and it'll pop up.
And you can get it in both the print and e-versions?
Yes, the print e-version and also the audiobook. So I did the audiobook as the voice.
Okay. You know, I've written three books.
Wow.
and it takes some courage to write a book. you're a fairly young man, you know. That's like to make that decision is something, isn't it?
it really is, and it, as people were reading the book as well, it wasn't just a decision that I made. So the story goes that after I had stood in the bubble, I got injured. So I tore my ACL the next game, and so I left the bubble. I went home and. Dr. Hepburn, the same Dr. Hepburn, the pastor here, he comes over to my place and he's just so excited. He's dancing around and he says, you're going to write a book and it's going to be turned into a movie as well. Just, you know, prophesying that and believing that. And he was saying that people know your stand, but they don't know your story. Hmm. And so that was the start of writing a book. And then, you know, I kind of took it from there with the book agent and went from there.
Okay. Can I ask you what your relationship with your colleagues in the league is now? I mean, following the stand, how is that now?
Yeah, I think just as time, it was a very emotional moment and an emotional situation. So there were guys who were definitely upset in the book about how everything went down with my team and my teammates. So there were guys that were absolutely upset. There are guys who respected my decision and maybe just disagreed with it, but respected it. But I think as time has went on and people have been able to kind of take a step back and just breathe a little bit, a lot of that emotion and frustration and all the different stuff has kind of died down. But my relationship with my teammates are fine. You know, they respect me and my decision to do what I did. And even in one of our heated conversations, what we left with, or what I left them with, was you guys knelt for what you believed in, and I stood for what I believed in. Mm-hmm. You know, I respected your decision to kneel, and I asked for that same respect in return.
Is the book, does the book more fully explain how you came to decide to take the stand? Because listen, man, I mean, I'm here in the Bahamas, and we're watching the George Floyd issue transpire. And, you know, we're emotional here. I mean, we are looking at this. The world is looking at this. The world is saying, you know, this is horrific. This is what an injustice. And lots of us sympathetic with people who decided, you know, well, I'm going to kneel, or I'm going to do this. Anything in protest of what happened. So, so to make a decision in the heat of that moment, that does the book explain how you came to make that decision?
Yeah, and it's more so, again, it's not that I didn't see the problem. It's not that I didn't see what happened to George Floyd. It was ultimately, what is going to be the right answer? What's the right way for us to respond? And I detail in the book that what helped me come to my decision was Dr. Hepburn was preaching a sermon, right? Mm. And the sermon was about the time where Jesus was about to get taken by the Roman guard. And so Peter, trying to protect Jesus, lunges forward and cuts off the ear of one of the guards. It says, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And what I took that to mean is, like, if you go at anger with anger, or you go at hate with hate, you only perpetuate the problem and you only perpetuate the fight. Someone is going to have to stop and step across the aisle and show love. And ultimately, Jesus went on to heal the guy's ear back. The guy who was trying to capture him, the guy who, you know, and then Jesus also tells us to love our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us and do all manners of evil against us. And so in the moment, I was like, as everyone is shouting back and forth, as everyone is upset and angry, and there's this movement to avenge and get even and all these different things, not saying that everyone was saying that, but that is the spirit of what I felt the Black Lives Matter movement and organization was detailing, that it was time. It wasn't time to pray. This wasn't time. This was time for retaliation. And I was like, man, I don't think that's the right answer. And I think that even in these tragic situations, love is going to be able to produce more change than hate.
Hmm. But, you know, I'm sure you know that, and I've experienced the fact that when we are messaging from our hearts, the interpretation is always left to the onlooker. And so some understand and some don't. And you just, you have to be prepared to deal with the consequences of the choices you make when you believe them to be right. This is one of the things that I think is most difficult for people, is they assume that in making a right choice, at least to you, you're making a right choice, that the consequences are going to be noble for yourselves. And they're not always, are they?
Oh, no. I definitely caught a lot of backlash. But one of the things that Dr. Hepburn said to me the night before I stood, he said, you cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. I wasn't inside. I wasn't thinking about white or black or anything like that. I was thinking about, what do I know based on my own experiences that can bring real change to this moment? And all I could think of was Jesus. And so I wasn't standing for myself. I wasn't standing to protest anyone's protest. I was standing to remind people that we all fall short of God's glory. And again, if we could choose to love each other the way that God loves us, which is in spite of our faults, in spite of our sin, then we could see real change, the way that God has loved us and the way that I've seen change in my own life. And so, I was ready for the backlash. I knew it was coming, but at the same time, I knew exactly what I was standing for. And I knew that what I was standing for was the truth.
When you, would you describe your upbringing in those early days in the Bronx, how would you describe your socioeconomic status?
Oh, we were poor. You know, there's also detailed in the book, there was a lot of times where we had to sleep at McDonald's when I was younger. My dad was a manager there. My mom worked as many shifts as she could possibly work at the hospital. Mm. And so she was gone all the time. My dad worked the night shift. And so in order for us to get to school in the morning, we had to sleep at the McDonald's.
I asked you that question because one of the things that I think we're seeing often enough is that transition from poverty to affluence isn't handled very well by people, especially young people, especially by sports athletes. How are you and what guides you in how you deal with that transition that you have made?
Oh, I mean, I think a big part of it is just having the right people around me. You know, I got the right, you know, people to bounce advice off of and just, you know, keep me in line. And, you know, I you know, there's safety in a multitude of counsel and just work through it. But I got a good team around me. And so they keep me focused.
And so what's next? What's next for Jonathan Isaac?
What is next? I think right now is just continuing to push this book. And people are really responding well to it. People are really being encouraged and inspired again to stand up for what they believe in, but also to look at their lives and examine their relationship with Christ and see how my life has completely been transformed by developing a relationship with Christ, and people are being inspired to do that. And so, you know, I want to continue to be an advocate for people who struggle with anxiety and fear and self-insecurity, younger people, older people, all types of people, and point them to what has helped me, which is the love of Jesus Christ and the people who have helped guide me through this journey, you know, by showing me the love of Christ. And so that's that. I'm working on a second book, but, you know, keeping that in the background right now while we continue to push this first one. And also the book is being talked about being turned into a movie. And so the more that everyone supports it, the more that everyone in the Bahamas goes and gets it off of Amazon, the more likely that's going to be. So
what do you think pushes young people into this state of anxiety and lack of confidence?
Well, I think one of the big ones is the world is just comparing yourself to everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And also the way that the world loves, the world loves based on what you can do. It loves based on your performance. It loves based on what you look like and how good you are at something. And so many of us find our identity and find our value in what we can do. And we strive for the validation and the love of other people. And so we get into these places of feeling anxious when we don't do a good job or not liking ourselves because of it. But what has struck me about the love of Christ is that it's unconditional and that it loves first and it loves in spite of your failures, it's constant. And so that's been the thing that has helped me to find my identity and what Christ says about me and not what the world says about me need to grow.
I'm not a prophet, my friend, but I can tell you one thing, your ability to articulate your thoughts, I think that your second half, meaning when you are done with the NBA, you're probably going to find yourself in a bigger space doing bigger things with that voice, that mind, and that heart of yours. I really do.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, we'll see. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Let me ask you: Are we going to see some dunks next season?
Yeah, for sure. I'm feeling really good. I'm excited about coming back, so I'm ready to rock.
All right. Well, we hope to see you in Orlando soon enough, and see Dr. Hepburn and participate once again in Jump Ministries. You know, listen to me, man. You know. When you get, there's two people I say this about. Bishop is one of them. The late Dr. Miles Monroe is the other one. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. When you get in the presence of Dr. Daron Hepburn, you think person on all the planet Earth because he is dealing with, focused on only you.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
It's incredible. I don't know too many people can do that, but he and Dr. Miles Monroe have an uncanny ability to do that.
That's definitely Dr. Hepburn, for sure.
Well, listen, man, we wish you every success, and thank you very much for taking the time to share your story, the book, Why I Stand. It's available on Amazon, and it's written by Jonathan Isaac, NBA player, Orlando Magic. Starting forward again. So thank you so much. And please thank your wife for me, who was very helpful in facilitating this along with Dr. Daron Hepburn. We appreciate your joining us.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And again, just to reiterate, everyone go grab your book off of Amazon, continue to push it and support it. I promise you it's going to inspire and encourage you. And yeah, you know, I can't wait to get out to the Bahamas again. I've been there multiple times and love the island.
Yeah, man, we welcome you back. Thanks a lot, and have a great, great, great one.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue playing that music that will help you continue to stand. We'll be back after this break.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card, baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com. Fidelity, we're good for
you. Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pull my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? He said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance. Live like you. were dying. He said I was finally the husband, and most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times that year I lied. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was your gift, and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I watched an eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. To live like you were dying.
Live like you were dying. Sometimes when people bring you to the point where things bring you to the point, when circumstances bring you to the point, when situations bring you to the point where you feel like you are dying, that's when you should live like you were dying. You know what it means? What it means to live like you're dying? Like, listen, man, it's the last day I got on planet Earth. Make it count. Do something noble. Do something significant, or just be. I mean, be, you know. Somebody told me that one of the problems we have is that we are always waiting for tomorrow to live. And this is why we're so frustrated. This is why we're so sad, because we're always waiting for that next better moment. This is it, bro. This one here, right here. This is the moment right now. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivagula, and your host. So glad you could join us here today on this Far Back Friday on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or 439-3043. Let me tell you something. I am seeing some weird things happen in the world and in this country. Some of y'all, like, y'all are adopting some attitudes and some behaviors that's just doggone scary. Okay? You may think you're taking a bold stand, right? You may think that, like, check yourself. Seriously, check yourself, man. Wisdom has got to find and got to demonstrate a clearer and a better way than that. It's one thing to take the kind of stand that promotes a nobility, that promotes the faith, that says to people, this is the right way, this is the way to get to a better place. But I'm sorry, man. Waving gun and crap and stupidness like that. Listen, I'm not on that bandwagon because violence is not a way, not a way for any decent, noble leadership to get anywhere in this country or in this world. Not that kind of violence. Not even the display of it. Oh, sometimes you got to go to war. And even then, it is questionable when we've made those kinds of decisions as humanity. But my God, man, seriously? Y'all get mad with me. I don't care. Really, honestly, I don't care. There has got to be a more noble, decent, and better way than that. I don't care how fed up you get. I don't care how frustrated you get. It's got to be a better way than that. Seriously? What's next? Because you disagree with me, you're going to pop a gun around my face? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Let's be real. I have a son. He's 13 years old. I want him to see that. That's the example of how we get it done in this country that I want him to see? For real? Don't stop doing stupidness, man. Wake up. You can't be that. Anyway. listen, folks. Some weird, crazy crap is happening in our world and in our country. Are we serious? For real? The dramatization? For real? Anyway, y'all keep climbing, yeah? Life is a climb. Takes a lot to do it right. We make mistakes along the way. We get it wrong along the way, but it's a climb to a higher place, a better place, a more noble place. And that's what this song is about, the climb.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no aching. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.
Yeah.
That's life. It's a journey. Some of us are abundantly impatient to get there. We're trying to find all kinds of shortcut ways to get there. And I want you to know what does that. I can tell you what does that. What happens is that our thirst for whatever it is we want generates inside of us this aggressiveness. And that aggressive energy of ours is compelling us to get satisfaction as quickly as is possible. And so really what we're doing is being emotional about it. And true leaders, mature men and women, strong human beings, don't act in the emotions of the moment. What they try to do is wait for calm, where their minds are clear enough to find the wisdom required in the moment to act with grace, to act with prudence, and to act in love. And it is in that action that they can make decisions that are not about getting them seen, but about getting the problem fixed, getting people solutions. But aggressiveness says, if I don't do something right now, if I don't do something right now, I'm going to lose something I have. And so we act. And we act in grand foolishness. And in the end, we solve nothing. Or you can get some attention for yourself. You might even kick up a storm. You might even start a conversation. But does it fix the problem? Sometimes you have to know your own strength. Not in a tool, not in a weapon, not in a thing. Your own strength. And in a person with great, great potential to act and speak, and sometimes not act and not speak, in great, great impact. Whitney Houston has a song. She says, I didn't know my... Whitney Houston, I didn't know my own strength. I hope you find yours. I hope you know yours. And I hope you get to use it to accomplish the things that you seek to accomplish. We'll be back after this song and after the break.
Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, pulled my head up high. I was not built to break. Didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I found
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan. Low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months. And cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Visions that can change the world, trapped inside an ordinary girl. She looks just like afraid to dream out loud. And though it's simple, your idea, it won't make sense to everybody. You need courage now if you're gonna persevere.
give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Do not. Yes, you could have a project that fails. Yes, you could have a mission that seems stuck. Yes, you could have a dream that hasn't yet come true. Yes, you could have a relationship that seems to be dead or dying. But don't give up on you. Don't give up, man. Because you are bigger than all the experiences you have in this world. You are bigger than all the challenges and thoughts that might run through your head. Is not life, said Jesus, more than Raymond. Life is more. Life is the prize. Don't give up, man. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. On this Far Back Friday, man, we're trying to give you the strength to press on, to take it, to deal with the punch in the gut, the kick in the teeth, the slap in the head, the spit in the face. We're trying to give you the strength to take it, and they're trying to ride your back and tell them, you could do it for a little while, bro, but I ain't giving up. I ain't giving up. And yes, I may fall down. I may, in fact, fall down. But you know what? I'm going to get back on my feet again. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm right here. And yourself?
I'm not bad. I want to say thank you for the encouraging word that you are giving on days like this, on the Fridays. The songs that you play, you know, it makes a big difference in our lives. As young became it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, my friend.
Okay, but I also have a question for you. I know you referred to a situation.
I'm sorry, but you have a lot of noise disrupting your voice, so we cannot even hear you.
Okay, I'll call back. Bye.
No, you that's better now. Go ahead. Hello? Okay, well, we aren't going to have a next, because chances are this song is going to take us into our weekend. And so, listen, y'all have a great, wonderful weekend. God bless you. And I trust you get yourself some rest, renewal, revival, and be prepared for your next week. God spares our lives. And I want to leave you with what I've always found a very inspirational, encouraging song. Because sometimes we fall, but we need to get back on our feet again, and we will. And when we do, Michael Bolton, and I'm on my feet again. God bless you. Y'all have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Chains around me. Gonna learn to fly again. Maybe hard, but I'll do it. When I'm back on my feet again, soon these tears will all be drying. Soon these eyes we'll see the sun. Might take time, but I'll see it. When I'm back on my feet again. When I'm back on my feet again. I'll walk proud down the street again. And children laughing, gonna hear the voice of sin. Won't be long till I hear them. When I'm back on my feet again, I'm gonna feel the sweet light of heaven.
shining down. It's light on me. One sweet day, I will feel it. When I'm back on my feet again. When I'm back.
Take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.